Well, turning your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1, we're continuing, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia. It's a powerful letter. It's an important book in the New Testament. It clearly presents the gospel message. Realize that there's only one gospel. There's only one message. Paul says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. That's it. It's the power of God that brings salvation. So we're going to see that. And also in this letter, there are principles of the Christian life, because this book has been called the Book of Freedom and the Book of Liberty. Think about it. Salvation is by grace through faith, and we're saved. That's freedom. The Christian life is walking in the Spirit, not by a set of rules and laws. And so my prayer is that as we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, that we'll understand the Book of Galatians, we'll see the gospel, we'll see Christian life. As we begin, there's several things I want to do this morning. We want to raise some questions as we go through our passage. We're going to say, what is an apostle? Because that's how Paul begins the book. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that. Why is resurrection so important? And then what is grace? Because a lot of people talk about the grace of God, but do they understand what grace is? And how do we get peace? Because this passage talks about grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's so much, and may we be encouraged as we look at the letter to the Galatians. Let's start with this. Sometimes people get confused when they hear the word Sabbath, the Sabbath. Oftentimes people think the word Sabbath means Sunday. They'll say, you know, you want to worship on the Sabbath and those kind of things. We go to church on the Sabbath. Well, the word Sabbath doesn't mean Sunday. It actually means to stop. It means to rest. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and then rested on the seventh day. The Sabbath is actually Saturday. The first day of the week is Sunday, and the last day of the week is Saturday. In Exodus chapter 20, he says, you shall work 6 days and rest on the seventh. First day of the week is Sunday. They will work Sunday through Friday, and then they rested on the seventh day, which was the Sabbath, which is Saturday. So we don't worship on the Sabbath. We worship on the first day of the week. Something has changed when we think about it. As Christians, we do not worship on the Sabbath. We worship on the first day of the week. Well, the question is why? Why? Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week. And the key is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our great message is that Jesus came to the earth, died on the cross to pay for sin, and rose again on the third day to conquer death. And as we look at our passage, as we see the book of Galatians, one of the very first things Paul says in the letter is how the Father raised Christ from the dead. And so when we think about the good news message, it's the good news of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul highlights resurrection at the very beginning. May we understand that. Let's think about where we are. Last week we started the study of the book of Galatians. And our goal, of course, is we're going to do what we call expository teaching. We're going to go verse by verse, passage by passage through the book. I mentioned last week that if you would just read one chapter a day, in other words, beginning tomorrow, just read chapter 1, and then on Tuesday, read chapter 2, for a week, it's only 6 chapters, so every week you'll be reading the book of Galatians. You'll be putting it together and seeing how it fits together. So that's sort of our goal, that you would understand it and we'd make application. The book of Galatians clearly presents the gospel and the principles of the Christian life. In fact, the message of the book of Galatians is really the message of the Bible, that man is justified by faith apart from his own merit, his works, or goodness. See, in our world, people think you get to heaven by being good, by trying to do good things. But the book of Galatians tells us, and the whole Bible tells us, really, that you're justified, you're declared right by God, you're declared to have eternal life by faith, apart from our own merits. And what we realize from the letter of Galatians is that both salvation and the Christian life are lived by faith. And so it's powerful. Let's get a little background. You remember that Paul is the author, and he was an apostle. We'll talk more about that in a minute. He was sent to take the message of Jesus Christ to the world. He wrote 13 letters in the New Testament. He was an incredible guy. He was Jewish, and he knew Hebrew. He had Roman citizenship. He knew Roman law. He was an educated, highly educated man. He despised Jesus Christ and the way. He was a Pharisee. He was opposed to the message of Christ. After Jesus died and rose again, ascended into heaven, Paul did not believe about Jesus. In fact, he was persecuting the Christians. They called it the way. He was on the way to Damascus with some helpers with him. He was going up there to arrest those followers of Christ, called the way. We call them Christians. He was going to get them and arrest them and bring them back and put them in prison. And on the way, Jesus Christ appeared to him, knocked him off the animal he was riding, blinded him, and Paul realized that Jesus Christ was alive. And on the road to Damascus, Paul put his faith in Christ and became a believer. And he went into the city of Damascus 3 days later so he could see again. And then he began to proclaim Jesus Christ with the same zeal that he hated Jesus. That same zeal, he went into the world proclaiming the truths of Jesus Christ. What we're seeing, of course, is he had three missionary journeys, but the first journey is the one we're interested in. On his first missionary journey, he went, and as found in Acts chapters 13 and 14, he went to a region of the world which was known at that time as Galatia. And I think there should be a map right there. Is that map there, Stephen? Maybe it's in a different place. Let me see if the next one has the map. No, I don't see it. Did you get that map in there? Okay, we're going to get it in a second. I just want to show you this. We looked at it last week. Let me go back one slide if I can. There. That both salvation and Christian life by faith. Here's the issue. He went into a region of the world, which is modern-day Turkey. And he stopped at a place called Antioch, Pisidia. And then he went through different cities, Lystra, Derbe, all of these places. And he led people to Christ and he proclaimed the message. We have it. Yeah, good. There it is. Notice that they left this place called Antioch, went across Cyprus, then went into what's called Pamphylia, the area, and they went to Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and they led people to Christ, and they started churches. And every one of those places, something bad happened. The Jewish people ran him out of town. Paul was stoned in Lystra, left for dead. They thought he was dead. In fact, he may have died, and God raised him back from the dead, gets up, and they eventually... I messed it up. They eventually came back and then went back to their home church, which was Antioch. And so these are the people, this group of people in this area known as Galatia. That's Galatia. This region is known as Galatia. And so Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia. And I said it's a little unusual because most books, this is not to a church like Corinth, and this is not to an individual like Timothy or Titus, but this is actually to a group of churches in a province, and that's why it's a little bit unusual. He traveled in 47-48 A.D., which is, think about it, it's 20 years after Jesus died and rose again, basically, and he traveled, and he wrote this letter in about 49, and the purpose of the letter was to clear up problems. Now, let me remind you what happened. Picture yourself as Paul, and you went to these people, and they listened to you, and you told them how Jesus died and rose again, and that he was the Savior of the world, that he was the Messiah, and if they would trust in him, they would have eternal life, and they trusted in him, and he helped establish those churches, and he'd run out of town, and he'd go back. So you had these people that believed that salvation was a gift by faith. And then this group came in called Judaizers, and they were people who believed you had to keep the Mosaic law in order to be saved. And they came into the churches of Galatia, and they said to them, look, Paul's fine, but he didn't give you the right message. You have to obey the law in order to be saved. If you're a man, you have to be circumcised. You have to keep the rules. You have to keep the feast days. You have to keep the laws. Well, word came to Paul that the message had been confused. Now, how would you feel if you told one of your friends that salvation was by faith in Christ and they trusted Christ, and then somebody else came and told them that was the wrong message and started telling them they had to go to church, they had to get baptized, they had to do all these things in order to be saved? You would be upset. You'd go back and you'd say, wait a minute, let's clear this thing up. And that's what happened. Now, they did two things. They attacked Paul's message that salvation in the Christian life is by faith. They said it was by works, and they attacked Paul, and they said that Paul was not an apostle. Now, let me tell you something. The same thing happens today. People attack our message. Listen, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, that he paid for sin, that he rose again, that you put your trust in him for eternal life, and you're saved forever. That's the message. There are a lot of people in our town, in this community, and in this world that do not hold to that message. They think there's more to that. There are people who call what we believe easy believism. They say, you make it too easy for people to be saved. You're telling them it's just faith in Christ. They must do other things. They must be baptized. They must join a church. They must walk down an aisle. They must make a public profession. They must turn away from their sins. And so there are people today that confuse the message of the grace of God. And probably many of you have experienced that, grew up in churches that taught things that were more than just faith alone in Christ. The second thing, they attack the authority as well today. There are so many people who say the Bible's a good book, but it's not the inerrant word of God. The truth is, it is the inerrant word of God. It is perfect and true. It is alive and it's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. This is God's written revelation. So just in the same way that they attack Paul's message, they attack Paul. Today, people attack the message and they attack the authority of the Bible. Now, what did Paul do? He wrote this letter. And in chapters 1 and 2, he defends his apostleship. In chapters 3 and 4, he defends the message of the gospel. And in chapters 5 and 6, he defends the Christian life. And I think I have it up here. There's a card out front on the tables that we made up for you. It's on one side, it says Galatians, and it gives you who's the author and the date, and it gives you a little bit about it. On the other side, there is actually the outline of the book of Galatians. So be sure and pick up these cards. They're on the tables, and you can use them as your study, as you read it every week, as you study it, and do your own study of the book of Galatians as well. Well, this morning, we're beginning section 1, and we realize that it's going to take us a while. Do you realize, think about this, when this letter came to one of the churches of Galatia, they didn't do like we do. They didn't get up and say, this morning we're going to look at the first three sentences. They read the whole letter without stopping because it was a letter from Paul to their church. Now, we could do that, but to us to teach through it and to see how it all fits together and things, it's going to take us a little while. So we're going to go section by section. And this first section of the book, Paul defends his apostleship. He defends who he is. So this morning, we're just going to look at the first three verses, and let's see how it fits together. Look at verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Do you remember that they said Paul wasn't an apostle? See, they said that Paul wasn't with Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Was Paul with Jesus when Jesus was on the earth? The answer is no, he was not. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was taught by Jesus, and we're going to see it when we get a little further in the book. He was taught by Jesus for 3 years in Arabia. But he wasn't with Jesus in the ministry on the earth. So some people said, you weren't with Jesus, so you're not really an apostle. So Paul starts the letter off, and notice what he says. Paul, an apostle. Not from men, not through men, but through Jesus Christ. He starts off by saying that he's an apostle. The Greek word apostolos is the word apostle. It means one sent forth with authority. The best that we can tell, there are 16 people in the New Testament that are called apostles, and they are commissioned by Jesus Christ to go out. Ephesians chapter 2 calls them the foundation of the church. And in the first century, these men were the authority. Now, today the authority is the Word of God. There aren't any apostles today. In fact, believers are not called apostles. We're called ambassadors. We don't have that same authority. We have the same message. We go out with the exact same message of Paul and Peter and James and John and all of that. We don't have the same authority. Our authority is the Bible. They were the authority when they went out. So it's powerful. We have authority. It's just the authority is the Scripture. A couple of qualifications to be an apostle. You had to have seen the risen Christ, and you had to be appointed by Christ. Paul was both. Now, notice how he starts off. Paul, an apostle, and then he says, not sent from men or through man, but through Jesus Christ. So he gives the negative and the positive. Here's the negative. It wasn't through men. Paul didn't become apostle but through men, but positively, it was from Jesus Christ and God the Father. So I want you to understand, Paul begins his letter by saying, listen, I want you to understand something. No human beings, no people, no person appointed me as an apostle. Paul's saying that. What he's saying is Jesus Christ appointed him as an apostle. And he is called into service to be the representative of Jesus Christ. And notice what it says. Paul, an apostle. Not from man. Not through men. People didn't do it. But through Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. He talks about the Father and the Son. You know, when you think of God, you think of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In this passage, Paul is mentioning the Father and the Son Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Now, he does something here. He's going to talk about what the Father did and what the Son did. Here's what he says. The Father raised Jesus from the dead, and the Son gave himself for our sins. We'll see more of that a little bit later. But this morning, he talks about being raised from the dead. By the way, this is the gospel. The Son died, the Father raised him from the dead. This is the gospel message, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you're ever confused on what our message is as Christians into this world, Our message is there is salvation and there is a Savior, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died and rose again, paying for sin, conquering death, and giving eternal life by faith. That's our message. That's what we go out into this community to proclaim, that message. And so it's powerful. Now, let's talk about something. Notice the verse again. Paul, an apostle, not through men, or not sent from men nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, and notice this, who raised him from the dead. That's resurrection. Resurrection. Let's think about resurrection for a second. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, what do we have? Think about it. What's the answer? What do we have if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? We have what? Nothing. Listen, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, there is no payment for sin. When Jesus died on the cross and paid for sin, he claimed as he was dying that he's taken the sin of mankind on himself. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, there would be no payment for sin. Guess what? If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, he's not God. He claimed to be God. If he had stayed in the grave and never risen from the grave, he would not be God. The third thing is death would not be conquered. Jesus Christ died and rose again, conquering death. If there was no resurrection, death would be the end. But Jesus Christ is God. There is a payment for sin. Jesus Christ is God, and death is conquered. That's because of the resurrection. So be clear. The gospel is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Notice what he goes on to say in verse 2. He says, this is Paul the apostle and all the brethren who were with me. He had a person named Barnabas with him. He had a few others. They were a number of people who had traveled with Paul on his first missionary journey. And it's great. But notice verse 3, the end of verse 2, to the churches of Galatia. And I want you to notice it's not to the church of Galatia, it's the churches of Galatia. Let's talk for a minute. What's a church? What is a church? Because we're a church, right? We call ourselves Stillwater Bible Church. We're a church. There were churches in Galatia. What is a church? The word church is ekklesia. It's a Greek word which literally means the called out ones, called out from this world. When you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, when you trusted in him, you were dead in trespasses and sin. You were in this fallen world. When you trusted Christ, he took you and pulled you out of this fallen world and placed you in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. So every one of us in this room, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, you were in a fallen world. You've been placed in Christ. You're the called out ones. That's who we are. That's what a church is. And I want you to think about something as far as church, that you can look at it this way, that it's all anyone who has ever trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior is placed in the church, placed in the body of Christ with the church. But then there are also the local churches, which is us. We're a local church. If you consider that this is your church, you say, this is the body of believers that I connect with, then not only have you been placed in the body of Christ, but you are in local bodies that meet together to worship Jesus Christ, to be trained and equipped and to serve him. It's really the physical outworking of the spiritual reality. So we're joined to one another. Let me tell you something. In the book of Hebrews, he says, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves. It's really easy for a person who is a believer to say something like this. Okay, I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. I have eternal life. I don't really have to go to church. Because the truth is, does going to church have anything to do with your salvation? No, it does not. Then why do we come to church? We come to church to grow. We come to church to worship. On a Sunday morning, we're here to worship Jesus Christ. We're here to be trained and equipped, knowing the Bible, understanding it, so when we scatter out into the community, we can grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and we can take the message of Christ. We come to church to fellowship with other believers and our gifts and talents touching each other's lives. So we need to do that. Let me just, I want you to think about something for just a second. Number one, do you realize your connection with fellow believers in the body of Christ? You're connected with other believers. But here's the second one. Think about this. We must identify with a local body and use our gifts and our talents to edify and build up one another. What are your gifts and talents? How are you using your gifts and talents in this local church? If you say, this is my church, then what are your gifts and talents and abilities? How are you connecting? How are you using your gifts to build up and edify one another? That's what this is all about. Now, notice what he goes on to say. Paul, an apostle, all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. And then he says something that he says in a lot of his letters. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's a standard greeting, grace and peace. He says, grace and peace. Grace is unmerited favor and peace is well-being. A lot of times, people would write that in letters and it'd be like saying, may God bless you. Have a good time. But when Paul wrote it, he meant more than that. He said, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Grace is unmerited favor. We're going to talk about it in just a second. Peace is well-being. Let me show you something. Grace brings salvation. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. The grace of God brings salvation, and salvation brings peace. Romans 5:1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Grace brings salvation, and salvation brings peace. Let's talk about it for a second. Grace. Grace is the greatest. It is. I mean, we see God's love, and God's love is the motivation for God's grace. God deals with us in grace. We are saved by grace. That's the verse I just quoted. You're not saved by what you do. You're not saved by being faithful. You're not saved by joining a church. You're not saved by getting baptized. You're not saved by anything you could ever do. You are saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We live by grace. Titus 2:12 says the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live righteously and godly in this present age. The whole Christian life is grace. God deals with us in grace. We ought to be thankful that he deals with us in grace. We do not want God to deal with us in justice. You don't want what you deserve, right? Anybody in here want what you deserve? I want his mercy and his grace. I don't want his justice. He poured his justice out on his son, Jesus Christ, so he could pour his grace and mercy on us. By grace, we are saved. By grace, we live the Christian life. It's powerful. God always deals with us in grace. We don't deserve anything. Ask yourself this question. Who in this world deserves to go to heaven to be with Jesus? Not one person. That's why it's all grace. It's the grace of God. There's a second word, and that's the word peace. Peace means comfort and protection. The Hebrew word shalom, you heard people say shalom. That Hebrew word, it basically means the same thing as that Greek word peace. It has the idea of comfort and protection. And so if somebody would say shalom, it's the same as ireno in peace, which is ireno in Greek, which means peace. And by the way, there are two kinds of peace in the Bible. There's peace with God and the peace of God. Peace with God comes by faith in Jesus Christ. See, before we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, we're enemies of God. We're enemies. All we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one that seeks after God. We're doing our own thing. We're enmity with God. And then when we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, we now have peace with God. There's also another kind of peace. It's called the peace of God. And that's what comes through our lives through the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And we have the peace of God in our lives as we live in God's power. So as Paul starts off, he says, grace and peace to you. I hope you have understood the grace of God and that you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior because it's all of grace. And I hope you now have the peace, first of all, peace with God because your faith in Jesus Christ and you have peace with God. But I also hope that you have the peace of God, which comes as you live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice what he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father, and then notice, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a title, Lord Jesus Christ. The word Lord actually means master, and so when we see the name of the title, Lord Jesus Christ, the word Lord means master or God, the name Jesus actually means Savior, and the name Christ means the anointed one of God. So he gives us the title that Jesus Christ is God, who is the Savior, who is the one set apart by God. What a start. But I want you to see the beginning of verse 4 because it changes your life. Look what it says. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who, Jesus Christ, gave himself for our sins. I want you to understand that Jesus Christ died for us. We're not going to get into that this morning. We're going to get into it next week. But you understand that Christ died in your place. We're supposed to be separated from God. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're supposed to be separated, but Jesus Christ came and took our place. Jesus said, I lay down my life in John chapter 10. 1 Peter 3:18 says, he's the just one. He died for the unjust. In Romans 5:8, God demonstrated love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God had made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Never forget that your Savior, Jesus Christ, died in your place. He says he gave himself for our sins. Never forget what he's done for you. Never forget what he's done for us. Next time, the details. We've seen Paul defends his apostleship. He says it's not from men, but it's from God. He writes to the churches in Galatia, and he says Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the Father. So, let's be faithful to give out the gospel message. Let's be faithful to do it. Remember what Paul? Paul was an apostle from God and not from men. Now, we're not apostles, but guess what we are? We're ambassadors. Let's take the message. Let's represent Jesus Christ. When we walk out these doors, you are representing Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. That's who you represent. And so when you walk out these doors, you're an ambassador for Christ as though God did beseech through you. We get to tell people we are ambassadors. David Roper, I actually met him. David Roper was an older man. By the time I went to Dallas Seminary in 1985, David Roper was in his 80s. He was a great pastor. He started a whole ministry called Roper Press, and they sent out all kind of Bible curriculum and Bible material. He did a great job. Here's what he says. Every soul with Christ is a missionary. That's us. And every soul without Christ is a mission field. There are people we come in contact with every day, and they do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. We need to tell them. And so to tell them, we got to be clear. We got to be clear on the gospel message. See, the good news message is the death and resurrection of Christ. Jesus died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again, and whoever believes in him, see, the response is to believe. Go through the scripture, because people have been taught other things other than faith in Christ. They've been taught to repent of sins, to give your life to Jesus, to get baptized, to walk down an aisle, to keep the law. They've been taught a lot of things. But if you look in the scripture, 165 places in the New Testament, it says it's faith alone. 98 times in the Gospel of John, it is faith alone. The response is to believe in Jesus Christ who died and rose again for us. That's the good news message. He saved us from this fallen world. The third thing is this. Let's thank God for his grace and peace. He deals with us in grace. Every morning we ought to get up and go, thank you for dealing with me in grace. Because you know, let me tell you something. If he didn't deal with me in grace, he would kill me. And the same for you. We're fallen people. All we like sheep have gone astray. We all have a flesh, a bent to sin. If he didn't deal with us in grace, he'd put us all to death. So we need to thank God every day. This wonderful, loving God who deals with us in grace. And then he deals with us in peace. We have the peace of God, and we have the peace of God. We have peace with God. I saw this. It says, when we put our cares in God's hands, he puts his peace in our hearts. May we clearly proclaim the gospel, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and salvation by faith. And may we be thankful to God for his grace and his peace in our lives.